121, pilgrim believers making their way up to one of the great festivals in Jerusalem, it's believed, sang these songs of ascent. And it seems in Psalm 121, within sight of Jerusalem, at least in sight of the hills that surround Jerusalem. And travelers who make their way to Jerusalem know that it's an uphill journey. And sometimes there are difficulties. At the time of the psalmist, there were some difficulties in that journey. And the psalmist makes mention of some of them here. There was a preacher called William Romaine, who was one of the great friends of George Whitfield. Romaine was a preacher of the gospel. God blessed his ministry in remarkable ways. It's said after he became a Christian that Romaine read this psalm every day of his life. It helped him as he made his way to God. And it's a favorite psalm of many Christians. It testifies beautifully and powerfully of the keeping power of God, that God keeps his children, keeps his people right to the very end. Now, we need to ask a question in the opening verses so we understand what the psalm is saying. And we need to ask this because you may have a different translation of the Bible tonight. And some translations translate this first verse as a statement. Our translation that I read from tonight translates it as a question. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, and then the question, from whence comes my help? Now, I think that's the right way to approach the psalm, that it is asking a question. The opposite view would seem to be saying that the psalmist is hoping his help will come from the hills that he's looking to. But I think that is an unlikely way of approaching the psalm, because David wants us to understand, as he lifts up his eyes to the hills, that actually there may be problems, there may be difficulties, there may be troubles in the hills. Some of you will remember that in cowboy films years ago, cowboys traveling along would come into a ravine, into a valley, and there'd be hills on either side. And the music would get very atmospheric, and the camera would pan upward to the hills, and a little stone or rock would just trickle down from the top of the hill, and the horses would startle, and you knew something was going to happen because there were enemies in the hills. There were troubles in the hills. Trouble was on its way. Now, in the psalmist's time, things were no different. Making a journey to Jerusalem at the time when the psalmist writes this had its difficulties. And even around the hills of Jerusalem, there may have been those who were out for trouble. So the psalmist is reflecting this fact that he's making his way to worship God in Jerusalem. He's making his way to the house of God. But as he does so, he may be facing certain troubles. He may face hostility. He may face robbers. He's facing fears. So he's asking the question, where's my help going to come from? Now, in our lives, there are things that we fear too. Things that press in on us. Burdens that we carry. You have trials. You have things that you fear. Doctor's appointments. Pressures at work. Issues of the family. Issues with work colleagues. So there are times too when we look to the hills and we ask the same question the psalmist is asking. In an hour of need, who's going to help me? Where's my help going to come from? Who will be my helper? And so that's this psalm. That's the psalmist crying out for help. He looks around to the hills that fill the horizon, but in the hills there are threats, there are alarms, there are fears. Where's his help going to come from? And the psalm then answers that question. It gives a general answer in verse 2. And then verses 3 to 8 flesh out that answer in beautiful and flesh withering and faith challenging ways. So the first general answer that the psalmist gives is, the Lord is my helper. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now you notice in our translation, in our church Bibles, the word Lord there is in capital letters. It's the covenant name of God. In the hymn that we sang it Jehovah. Students these days usually pronounce it Yahweh. It's the name of God in covenant love and faithfulness to his people. It's the name that God gave to his people in Exodus chapter 3. And it's built on the promise that God made to Moses. God called on Moses to be a leader and to bring the people out of Egypt where they're in slavery. And Moses wonders, how on earth can he do that? And God gives him that beautiful promise, I will be with you. And then Moses asks the question, when I go and tell this people what you want to do to bring them out of slavery in Egypt and all the difficulties that we'll face, when they ask, what's your name, what shall I say? And God gives that reply, which is translated in our English Bibles, I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. Now that's the name that the psalmist is speaking of here. A name that's meant to bring to the consciousness of the people of God what lies at the very heart of the covenant that God makes with his people. I will be with you. That's what reassures the psalmist as he asks the question. There are hills around, there are many threats, many alarms, many fears. Where is my help going to come from? My help is going to come from the one who has promised he will never forsake me. My help comes from the great covenant God of faithful love, I am. The God who has said, I will be with you. And here particularly, what is emphasized, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord who's promised to be with me, the God who is my Redeemer, is the Lord, the God who created all things. The God of creation is my helper. And you know, in the whole debate about science and religion, we sometimes forget the pastoral significance in the Bible of the doctrine of creation. Here is the psalmist applying the doctrine of God as the sovereign creator to his need, to his problem, to his fears, to his alarms, to his difficulties. What's going to calm your fears? When you're facing hostility, difficulty, problems this week, you have this assurance, the sovereign God who made heaven and earth, he's the one who's promised to be with you. The one who made the planets and the stars. The one who made the universe in all its magnificence and complexity. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the God, the psalmist says, who promises to be with you. That God who is your helper. The God who made everything that is. Everything that is, God made it. And that God is my helper, says the psalmist. So there you see the Bible is saying you can draw sweetness from the truth tonight that God is the creator. He's the creator of all things, even the creator of the hills where the psalmist fears there may be hostility and problems and difficulties. But God made it all. God's the creator. This mighty God of almighty power, he's my helper. And when you put it like that, you see, the doctrine of creation helps us because you say, well, what can be a problem that's going to be too hard for this God? If there's a sovereign God who made the universe out of nothing, can't he help you in your problems? Can't he help the psalmist? So you see what the psalmist is saying. How can I find help? Where can I find help? Who can I turn to? I find my help in the sovereign God who made heaven and earth, he's saying. And in New Testament terms, in Mark chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the back of a boat, and he was with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm blew up, and Jesus Christ rebuked the winds and the waves, peace, be still. In Mark chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the surface of the water of the Sea of Galilee. He went as though he's going to pass by the disciples who were in a boat, reflecting some of the Old Testament incidents where God, as it were, would have passed by Moses. He went as if he would pass by Elijah. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not pass by. He talked with his disciples. He said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Here is the Lord Jesus Christ defying the laws of nature and gravity and physics, treading on the water of a lake, walking on the water, telling the winds and the waves to be still. What is Mark saying? He's saying, here is the mighty creator. He's your savior, but he's the mighty creator of all. Now that's the point of the psalmist here. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be in fellowship and communion and at peace with the one who made everything that there is. And if that doesn't bring a sense of peace to your soul, the psalmist is saying, then your God is too small. You need to get this big view of God, this great God. Every imaginable fear that there can be, bring it to this great God who made heaven and earth. In the light of who God is, that puts our fears back into their right place and perspective. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Listen to the prophet Isaiah using the same truth to comfort the people of God as they're preparing for Babylonian exile. Isaiah says to them, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See what Isaiah is doing? He's doing exactly the same thing as the psalmist is doing here. He's applying the mighty power of the God of creation to the predicament, the present problem, the fears, the difficulties in which the people found themselves. And he's saying, but remind yourself now, facing those fears, those difficulties, of this mighty, powerful God of creation. And then the psalmist, after he's made that general statement, he fleshes out the statement in a way that, unfortunately, in our New King James version of the Bible, isn't so immediately obvious. Because if you look with me for a moment, in verse 3, we have the word keep, he who keeps you. In verse 4, twice, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. So you have this refrain, but then for some reason, and at this point the translation is not so helpful, I don't think. In verse 7, the exact same word is translated preserve. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Now actually, in the original, it's all the same word. It's all the word keeper, keep. God keeps his people. So at this point, the ESV is a much better translation. I'll read it and you can follow and see the way that the word keep becomes the refrain through the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now that's better. It's nearer to what the psalmist was saying. The Lord is your helper. Why? Because he will keep you in every imaginable circumstance. How does the Lord keep his people? First, safe. Safe from harm. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. With all the fears and difficulties and trials in your life, the psalmist is saying the Christian can go to sleep tonight because God never sleeps. You can shut your eyes, you lose consciousness of this world, and though you have many pressing troubles perhaps, you remind yourself tonight as you go to sleep that you're being kept by a God who never sleeps. That God is your helper. He'll keep you. Think of how Elijah the prophet taunted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The false prophets got up to all sorts of antics on Mount Carmel, calling on Baal to come down and send fire. And Elijah taunted them. He mocked them. Nothing was happening. Elijah said, "Shout louder. Shout louder. Maybe your God is asleep. Shout louder. Wake him up." But our God never sleeps. See what the psalmist is saying? In my distress, I cried to the Lord. He heard me. Why? His ear is always open to the cry of his people because he never sleeps. He won't lose you along the way. Having saved his son Israel, he's not going to lose him on his journey. That's what the psalmist is saying. It will never happen. He'll never leave, never forsake his people. Peter says, believers are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last day. The Lord is your keeper. That's why you're kept. Kept through the power of God. In every harm, in every danger. Now you may be allowed to fall and cut your knees along the way. Job was allowed to go through many trials, many problems, many difficulties. The psalmist is saying here, God as a keeper, but that doesn't mean God's people never face trials. But remember, God could only be the keeper of Job, and Satan could only have permission to do so much to Job because the Lord was his keeper. Although outwardly everything was going wrong, actually God was in control throughout. God was sovereign. In the life of Job, the Lord was his keeper. And here that's what the psalmist is saying. That's safety. The Lord his helper. The Lord his keeper. Safe. Second, sheltered. The Lord is your keeper, he's saying. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He keeps us safe. He keeps us sheltered. From time to time, people say to me, "How do you like living in London?" I say, it's fine. I like living in London. It's warmer than Sheffield, and it's drier than Swansea. Now, I know we're living at a time when at the moment people say, "Oh, but it's too warm. It's warm, you know." British people like talking about the weather all the time. It's warm, but it's too warm. And when it gets a bit cooler, we'll say, "Oh, I wish it was warm again." So, you know, it's always going to be like that. But you see what the psalmist is saying here? The danger of sunstroke, danger from the moon at night. People think that it was widely believed at the time of the psalmist, that the moon had an influence on people. We get the English word